chapter of the book of Luke. In that 25th verse, it said, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up, a man who was well versed in the law. He stood up and tempted him, tempted the Lord Jesus, who was tried and tempted. Tried and tempted. Tried and tempted as a man. He is God. God can't be tempted. But the manhood of the Lord Jesus condescended, took upon himself our humanity as one of us. That part of the Lord Jesus was tempted as a man. Stood up and tempted him. But blessed be God, he never yielded to any temptation. Overcome every temptation of the world, of the devil, and man. He tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? A lawyer, probably a scribe, maybe even a Pharisee. And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. That's a pretty big job, isn't it? Love God with all your heart and all your soul, all your strength and all your mind, and that's not enough, but love your neighbor as yourself. That's the demands of the holiness of God. That law of God in Exodus 22 that sets this forth shows forth the character of God, not the full character of God, but the severity of his character and the holiness of his character. There's no mercy in the law at all. You can read that in the book of Exodus, and you can't find no mercy in that Decalogue. No mercy there. It's this, do, and live. If you can do it, you can live. This, do, and live. He thought he could do something, this lawyer. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What's written in the law? How readest thou? And he told him. So in verse 28, he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. This do. Do it all. Meet all the demands of it. All the precepts of that law. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, Well, who is my neighbor? As if he had fulfilled the first part of that which he read, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and soul, all thy strength and all your mind. Well, he said, Who's my neighbor? And thy neighbor asked, Well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jericho, from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came a certain priest. And it really means by the providence of God. There's nothing by chance in regard to God. It's all on purpose. It's according to his will. It's foreordained. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. It's a religious man, priest, one who was a master of the law, knew the law, taught the law. But by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and he just looked to the other side. He saw him, and then he passed by on the other side. No mercy with him. No help would be given by this fellow. And likewise, a Levite who was the same as the priest was. A priest must be a Levite. All the Levites, the priests were chosen out of the tribe of the Levites. And when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Looking, there's no help to this poor dead sinner who is half dead, laying in the ditch, wounded. Just looking is of no help. He's got to have some real help, real assistance. He's got to have someone come down there where he is and do something for him. If you can't do anything for him, take him to the hospital where they can help him. He came where he was, but he was not moved with compassion. It didn't seem to bother him. He didn't look at him with pity or compassion. And when he saw him, he didn't have any compassion. A certain Samaritan man, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And of course, in this parable, we all say the Good Samaritan is the Lord Jesus. And I don't guess that that's wrong. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Because when God saves us, he comes where we are and finds us half dead. Dead in trespasses and in sins. We can't help ourselves. And if he don't take the initiative and come down where we are and pick us up and put us on a beast of burden and take us to the physician, the great physician, we'll remain in that condition. But he went to him and bound up his wounds, done something for him, pouring in oil and wine. Must be some healing virtue to the oil and the wine, because that's what they used. And set him on his own beast, that is, the Samaritan's beast, whether it be a donkey or a horse or a camel or whatever, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Poured, bound up his wounds, poured in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, brought him to the inn and took care of him. That's a type, a picture of the everlasting God in Christ saving his people. And on the morrow, when he departed, he stayed all night with him. And he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, the owner, and said unto him, he said, take care of him. Take care of him. I'll pay the bill. Here's 2 pence to start with. And if you spend any more than what I gave you, when I come again, I will repay you. I'll pay everything that this man owes. This poor, wounded, certain man. Doesn't give no name, he's just a certain man. And when I come again, I'll repay you. Which now of these 3, our Lord says in this parable, what do you think? What conclusion do you draw as to this a lawyer who tempted our Lord? And he said, which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, the lawyer said, he that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. What must I do? Well, show mercy. Show mercy. All right. Turn with me to the 12th chapter of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 12. Our Lord encouraging His people here. There's just a few, if compared to the multitude, it was just a few of them. He's speaking some comfort and help and hope to His people. He said in verse 24, He said, consider the ravens. The ravens were the birds that took the food to Elijah the prophet. You remember? Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, but God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? To this little group of folks that followed him. This is a small, insignificant group. It wasn't thousands. It wasn't in the hundreds. He came into his own, but his own received him not. Just a small handful. You could count them on both hands, probably. He said, these ravens, they don't toil and work and sow and take care of the crop or anything. They don't have no barns, no storehouses. Make do for the winter. He said, and God feedeth them. And he said, how much more are ye better than the fowls? If he takes care of them fowls, God considers you greater and dearer unto him than those fowls. He takes care of them, provides for them, their necessities. And which of you which taking thought, that is just by concentration, can add to his stature one cubit? How can, when you fix your mind on an object, by fixing your mind, can you cause yourself to be any taller than what you are? If ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not. They spin not. But I say unto you that Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Well, he'll clothe his people with the garments of salvation. He'll dress them up in this righteousness of His Son that He established here on this earth. He'll cover them with His righteousness. He calls it a wedding garment. How much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? He didn't say, thanks be unto God, oh, you have no faith. He said, little faith. Little faith. And seek not what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink. And neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. So by way of help and hope and comfort, if we be the children of the Most High God, if we be brought into favor with God through Christ His Son, dressed in His wedding garment, ready to set at the feast of the great marriage, that depicts us. The Father knows what things we need. So He said, in light of all this and this comfort, which is sure and certain, these things are sure and certain for the believer. But rather, concentrating on those things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Seek the Lord. Live for the Lord. Live a life that is a reflection of the goodness and the mercy of God. Be kind and gentle, caring, merciful, like this one was to that fellow that fell in the ditch. Let that be your objective and your attitude. But He says, fear not, little flock. Don't fear. I'll take care of these things. I'll take care of them. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. The preacher said, in response to the question, he said, how is your church doing? He answers, it remains small and weak. Said the flock, is not very big, small in number, and very weak. Well, most preachers in the religion of the 20th century who have a small congregation, who are small and weak. If that be their case, they will immediately look and do their best to build up that small and weak congregation as quickly as they can. And the means which they use, for the most part, to build up that small and weak congregation is unbiblical, worldly church methods. I was reading in this morning's paper, there this afternoon, where the headlines said, a yard sale inside the church, or something to that effect. And it was a big, large Methodist church at Bridgeport. And they plan for days and have people bring in anything and everything that's of any value. Just bring it in, and people will come in and buy it. And the money will be used to support the various activities And so it is a unbiblical method for church to use. We're going to sell something in order to, and hopefully some of these people come in will not just leave and not come back. Well, if they don't do that, they'll simply bid their time, that is the preacher, if he comes to this small, weak flock. If he can't, through some practice, build the church up real quick, why then he'll just kind of set back and bid his time till something bigger comes along. Looking for a bigger building. Looking for a bigger congregation. So, while he sits there waiting, out of embarrassment most of the time, they speak badly and harshly to the people and speak harshly of the people, rather than simply preach the gospel of God's free grace and commend them unto the Lord. Well, I have found in my 5 cent ministry, that's how I evaluate my ministry, 5 cents. In my nickel and dime, 5 cent ministry, I found in preaching the gospel and traveling in far off places, I found that the Lord's churches, for the most part, are small and weak. Small and weak. They don't have many members, and they don't have much money. They're hanging on. About all they can do. However, I have found that it's no fault of the message of the gospel. It's not the fault of the message, neither is it the fault of the messenger. I found that out. At least most of the time, it's not the fault of the messenger. And all of the time, it's not the fault of the message. What is the fault? Look over here in John chapter 9, if you will. John chapter 9, and I think verse 41. And that 39th verse, Jesus says, "For judgment I'm come into this world, that they which see, that they which see not, might see, and they which see, might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees, which were with him, heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." Now, part of the problem is that in the Lord Jesus Christ, in Christ, His gospel is offensive to the natural man. His gospel. How God saves sinners through the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ and all the ramifications of that is a out-and-out offense to the natural man, who are blind in their sin of self-righteousness. Now, it offends their dignity as well as their self-righteousness. You say, well, how does it offend their dignity? Because they do not see themselves as lost and helpless, hopeless sinners, doomed and damned to die and spend eternity separated from God. They don't see that. It offends their high thoughts, their lofty thoughts of self, because they would rather have the choice. They'd rather have the choice to be saved or not be saved. They want that choice than for God, in His sovereignty, to choose whom He will. And that is one big reason why that the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ are small and weak. Because the gospel is offensive to the natural man. We want to be able, they say, to make our own choice. If we want to be saved, that's our business. And if we don't want to be saved, we won't be saved. We don't want you telling us that it's God's sovereign choice and that He will have mercy on whom He will have mercy, and whom He hardeneth, He hardeneth. We don't want that kind of business. Well, they don't want for God in His sovereignty to choose whom He will. It offends their sense of fairness, because they would rather have salvation to be an offer or to be offered to them, and they had the power to accept the offer or reject the offer, which they have neither. They, in their rebellion, it makes them mad, and they refuse the gift of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't like to be told that there is a foreordination of God in His sovereignty to choose whom He wills. It offends them in this sense of. Yet, in spite of all this, in the wisdom of God, it pleased God to save some few. In God's great and glorious, unsearchable wisdom, it's pleased God in time before time ever was. In eternity, it pleased God to save a few. A few. To save some few. And they may seem to men small and weak. But to God they seem like many. Is there few to be saved? I really don't know if they can be deciphered or numbered. I don't know. But I know that He says here, fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. I'm going to take care of you. Because it's Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Over here in the book of Romans, chapter 5, let me read this to you. Chapter 5 of the book of Romans. Listen to what it says. I said that it's a little flock. He said it himself, fear not, little flock. The kingdom of God is yours. Man in his natural wisdom deems the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ be foolishness unto him. And they say, well, they're just a few people. Just a few of them. It don't amount to anything. Just a few. Count them on your hand. There's about 40 of us here tonight. About 40 people. That's just a few. There's not many. We're small. Small church. Should be more here than what's here. But, be that as it may, it's a small church. Small. Small. Is there many that's going to be saved? In the wisdom of God, He chose some to be saved, I know that. And in the language of the world, they may say it's few, but in the language of God, look at here, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. They're going to be a bunch of them. They're going to be a bunch of them. Small little flock. Don't look like it amounts to much. Don't look like it can get anything done. But it started way back there when our Lord said, Peter, whom do men say that I am? Oh, some say this and some say that. But whom do you say I am, Peter? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed be thou, Peter Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not told thee this, but my Father which is in heaven. From that time until now, there's a little flock. Little flock. Fear not, little flock, for yours is the kingdom of God. Hope. There's your hope. Right there. Fear not, little flock, for the kingdom of God. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you. I'm so glad, aren't you? Huh? Oh, listen. How manifest must this little band of followers or disciples or apostles, how insignificant must they have looked following our Lord from place to place? About 12 of them. Maybe a few others, wagon coming up at the tail end of that little group. Our Lord went from place to place and had 12 men with Him. No fanfare before He came, no forerunners apart from John the Baptist. Yet, He encouraged them with His words. Fear not, little flock. You ain't very big, but don't worry about it. For it's your Father's good pleasure. Give you the kingdom. Now, these words were specifically, well, not specifically, but especially, I think, directed to the apostles, to the 12 apostles. Yet, they are true in all ages here in time that it's a little flock compared to a flock of sheep. Just a little flock. Only 12 in His flock. Well, this flock of sheep that God has separated from the rest of the world in divine and sovereign election and effectual calling by the Spirit of God, no matter what the number is, there is no greater place in this world or in the world to come for safety and comfort than to be in this shepherd's fold. You can't find no more security and safety and haven of rest than you can find in this haven of rest in the Lord Jesus Christ and this little flock. This little flock. I hope that when I die, though we be few in number, someone somehow, some way, if it's not said by the preacher, say, well, he was a member of a little flock. He belonged to a little flock. And I'll say in heaven, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I'm glad for each one of you who are in that little flock. Fear not. We're going to make it through. We're going to make it through to the end. We struggle, don't we? We have our ups and downs, sorrows and bereavements. We're sad. We're hurt. Sometimes we don't know which way to turn, where to go, what to say, what to do. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Kingdom's yours. Lord bless us and help us.